What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about the comment section. Somebody made a crazy statement. I guess I should read the verse that I always think about when I hear stuff like this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It blows my mind exactly how ignorant people are whenever they try to come in and argue. And I remember what Ronald Reagan said about the liberals and not too long ago. It's not that they're ignorant, it's just so much of what they know isn't true. Folks, I will tell you, we absolutely need to be willing to learn and be open and question everything we think we know. And we are live early, about 30 minutes. I will tell you this, Facebook is real funny, or YouTube is real funny in the algorithm. It may be that we're streaming to a very small audience today. So for those of you that are coming in and such like, be sure to like, subscribe, and share, do all that good stuff. But we're going to look at a comment section today, and it's from a person who, quite frankly, this verse applies to. "Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." That is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And Paul is talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, and warning him about people who have erred from the truth. Hello, sweet. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. So let's get right into this. We're going to talk about judgment. And you got to make the case that there's a difference between divine judgment from God and human judgment. I would say it's the difference between divine judgment and human discernment. I fancy myself, again, to be a good turner of a phrase, and here's something that I come up with. We discern. God decides. That is the difference. I speak about this little old lady in Arkansas who was 100 years old. Not really, but close to it. Hello, John Exum. Good morning. Good to see you. And when I first met her, she was sitting in the easy chair. To the left of her was a window where she could get the sunlight in on her Bible. She had a magnifying glass. She was a pillar of the community. She was a member of the Missionary Baptist Church, which, if you're not familiar with the Missionary Baptist Church, my understanding, it's the charismatic branch of the Baptist Church. In the South, in the United States, you've got First Baptist, Second Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Southern Primitive Baptist, Missionary Baptist, and maybe even some others that I'm leaving out. Well, she was a Missionary Baptist. And in this part of Arkansas, about every 2 or 3 miles, there was a little old Missionary Baptist church. And I mean, I would go to her, I'd talk to her, and we'd study the Bible and stuff like that. And I would ask her, why are there so many Missionary Baptist churches around? And she said, it's because such a rural area, you typically had a church within a reasonable amount of distance that somebody could ride in a wagon or horse or walk. I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. And incidentally, whenever you look at Northeast Arkansas, where I was before I came to Canada, you've got Jonesboro, Arkansas. You've got now I'm losing my mind. I can't remember the cities. Jonesboro, Brooklyn, I think Bono. You have Bay. You've got Truman. You've got Marked Tree. And of those 7 cities, there's about 10 or 15 churches of Christ. And you ask yourself, why are they so, you know, some of them are just a couple of miles apart. Why? Well, a lot of these really old congregations that sprang up during the agriculture, the agrarian, whenever our society was focused on agriculture and it was really agrarian and, you know, people didn't travel much farther than they could travel by foot in a day, you had these congregations that serviced these little communities. And it's just kind of grown up that way. It's just kind of evolved that way over the time. But my point in telling the story is I don't like the fact that this woman died outside of Christ. And I almost feel like David, whenever Uzzah in the long ago touched the Ark of the Covenant and God struck him dead, and David named that place Perez Uzzah because he considered that God had made a breach against Uzzah. I'm not angry at God. I'm just like, it bothers me. And I have to submit to God. I have to check myself. Because I'm like, how in the world can this woman, who is so dedicated, so faithful in her way, not faithful according to Scripture, but how can God not extend her mercy whenever I'm probably a much worse person than she is as far as the world is concerned, as far as just being moral and being gracious and merciful and understanding and slow to speak, slow to wrath, all that good stuff, swift to listen. This woman's probably much better than me. And yet, if I continue the way I am now, I'm going to be in heaven, and she's not. And it's something I wrestle with. I study about this, and that's why I'm so deep into the book. That's why I'm like, listen, you know, if we it's so important for us to speak where the Bible speaks, to be silent where the Bible's silent, to do Bible things in Bible ways. Holly H., good morning, everyone. Hey, Brother Tony. Well, hey, Holly H. So anyway, I hope you don't think less of me because of that. I'm just kind of pouring out my heart here. The problem is, though, there is a line of demarcation between heaven and hell. There's a line of demarcation between right or wrong. You and I don't decide it. God does. You and I simply discern. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to open up my screen share, and I don't know how well y'all will be able to see this, so I may not share it throughout the whole episode. But let me do this. If you think this is worth me sharing my screen, let me know. Put it in the comment section. Say yeah, I can read it, or nah, I'd rather you put your ugly mug back up. But let me get in here. I'm gonna go to. This is just sharing it right from Facebook. So this video here, I'm not going to play any of it, but this video, I said, oof, this is how you call out false teaching. This dude did pretty well. And I'm not going to do the sound, but it's this dude that he goes through the Bible and just totally dismantles what this dude said. And this dude is a PhD, ubermensch scholar of the Bible, supposedly. And he says, clearly the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't the only reason for the destruction. What? Sure, clearly the destruction wasn't the only... I never noticed that. I don't know how he did that. Anyway, thrust of this video is that this scholar is saying that homosexuality did not factor in to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains. And of course, many sins were committed, but the sexual perversion was the major factor. All right? Now, and this guy says that homosexual sin didn't enter into it. And this guy, that look at him, he's like, come on, man. This guy is like, well, yes, it does, and let me show you. So he takes it, and he breaks down he just totally deconstructs it, and there's nothing you can do to argue with him. Now, this has been shared 1,500 times. It's got 1,100 comments. And it's got 5,600 reactions. And I don't have a view counter, but it's well over 100,000 views at the moment. Let me get your... Okay, nobody's commented here. Good deal. Okay, so I'm going to go on as normal. So here's... Listen to this. This is from this guy named... Or this person named Barb Grand. Homosexuality exists within the animal kingdom. Animals are not known to be higher thinkers, although this in humans is questionable. Non-thinking species do not choose their sexuality. Some humans are born to be attracted to same sex, 2% perhaps. Homosexuality does exist. One can be homosexual and be loyal to Jesus. God does not judge. The poor unfortunate who have been taken up in this wave of the rainbow mafia need prayers and love. I'm 61 and a lesbian. There's a whole lot wrong with me. My sexuality is not. Now, I want to highlight something. I'm going to accentuate the positive here. Listen, one can be homosexual and be loyal to Jesus. Folks, that's a true statement. You can be homosexual and be loyal to Jesus, just like you can be heterosexual and be loyal to Jesus. What's the catch? Tony, I know you're not promoting homosexual activity. No, I'm not promoting homosexual activity any more than I'm promoting heterosexual activity. Let's go to the book of Matthew and notice the words of Jesus here. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 19, they ask him about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And he explains it to them. He says, marriage is for one man and one woman. That's the way God designed it. And then verse 10, his disciples saying to him, if the cause of the man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. And Jesus didn't correct them. He said, look, you have Let me get back where you can see me. All right. Jesus said, you have well discerned that this is a grave teaching and a grave situation. You're right. If you're not going to stick with the wife of your youth, it is better for you not to marry. All right? That's essentially what Jesus was saying. You know, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He just goes on to say, look, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. Now, a lot of people, I've heard people say, well, see, not everybody can hear this, so Jesus doesn't expect them to follow it. Unto whom is given this saying? All men. Everybody must receive this. I think this is Jesus being, I don't know what you'd call it, facetious is not quite the right word, but I think there is a word that describes it. But listen to him. He goes on to say, look, there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Now, if you're able, you know, if you got it, if you're able to receive this, if you can hear it, that this is for you. It's the same thing with he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you're able to listen to this, this is for you. Okay. Now, what's the point? What does that have to do with this comment about homosexuality exists within the animal kingdom? Or excuse me, one can be homosexual and be loyal to Jesus. If you have an attraction to the same sex, you have no biblical way to live out that attraction. You can have the attraction. That's a temptation. That's all attraction is. It's lust. It's a temptation. I have a desire to steal. You know, I need $100. So I see my buddy there. He's got a $100 bill sticking out of his wallet. And I know that all I've got to do is go over there and go poop. And there it is. Well, that's a desire. That's an attraction. But I can't act upon it. You can be a kleptomaniac and still be guilty of the sin of thievery, of stealing. You can be a kleptomaniac and still be guilty of the sin of thievery even though you might have been, quote unquote, born that way. Being born that way doesn't make a difference. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get back to you can be loyal and be a homosexual. You cannot be a practicing homosexual. If you are attracted to members of the same sex to the point where you cannot ever be married to and a good spouse of a member of the opposite sex and rear children, then you're just going to have to be a eunuch for the kingdom. It is sad, but you are going to miss out on certain things of life, just like someone who was born with a congenital defect. Because we're going to notice in this comment section, in fact, I'll leave it just like this. We're going to notice in this comment section, first off, this person says, God does not judge. The poor unfortunates who have taken up in this wave of rainbow mafia need prayers and love. I'm a 61-year-old lesbian. There's a whole lot wrong with me. My sexuality is not. Again, that desiring to be teachers of the law, not knowing what they say nor where they affirm. We're going to get into that later. But one can be homosexual and be loyal to God. Listen to the formula for sin. It's in James chapter 1. Go read it. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted of man, or tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust, when it conceives, brings forth death. Or sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Sorry, it's been a minute since I've quoted that. So the point is, if I'm a homosexual and I have a desire toward another man, as long as I don't act on that desire, I haven't committed a sin. It's just like if I'm a heterosexual man and I have a desire for another woman that's not my wife, I haven't committed a sin. I just can't act on it. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm not going to give you the verse. Just go read the chapter. You'll find it. If any man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already with her in his heart. The action is not the lust. Or excuse me, the sin is not the lust. The sin is the looking. So for instance, there's a woman walking down the road and I see her, and instead of averting my eyes, I go ahead and watch her as she walks by me and get me a good dose of that lookings. Folks, that's evil concupiscence. That is lust, but that's action. I looked at her. I took an action on it. That's sinful. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Yes. Now, with what does lust conceive? In order to conceive, you got to have two things coming together, lust and action. So if I just desire my friend's $100 bill, and I say, no, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. I can't steal that, and so I don't steal that. I haven't committed sin, even though I was tempted to sin. So if I'm a homosexual, and I have a sexual desire for another man, if I say, no, that's not God, it's not what God wants of me, and I temper myself, I have not sinned, even though I have the attraction. So yes, I want to accentuate the positive in the beginning. You absolutely can be faithful to Jesus and be homosexual in the same way you can be faithful to Jesus and be heterosexual. All right? You just can't act on that lust, on that desire. So here's what I respond. I said, yes, your participation in homosexual activity is sinful. Notice I was very specific there. How is that hard to understand? And what does the animal kingdom have to do with anything? Now, I'm asking these questions. I know the point she's making with the animal kingdom. And her point is, animals don't consciously choose their sexuality. They are 100% biological creatures. They are 100% impulse. They have no mitigating factor whatsoever. In other words, they cannot contemplate the ramifications of their actions extrapolated out across the distance into the future. Like the ant, Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. The ant does not think winter is coming, so I better gather stores. The ant has built-in biology to cause the ant to do what the ant does, okay? So what she is getting at is that because there's a subset of population that's born this way, they don't choose their sexuality, so it must be moral. Well, you know where I'm going to go with that. And again, we're going to get into the idea of God judges, because look at what she said. God does, capital N, capital O, capital T. God does not judge. All right, so her response was, I have sinned in other ways. Our dear Lord does not make mistakes. Animals are not thinkers, hence no ability to choose sexuality. God forgives you for your ignorance and hiding behind words manipulated by humans. What was John, the gentle disciple's gig? I have not researched that. Evidently, here's what I would say. I've been doing this long enough. Evidently, there is probably some higher textual critic or woke liberal historian who is ascribing a homosexual relationship between John and Jesus, just like they say that David and Jesse had a homosexual relationship. Anyway, whatever, that's the height of stupidity. Now, I also, on the heels of this comment, I basically did, well, wait a second, I didn't even address the craziest thing. Furthermore, I said, also, whom do you think is doing the judging here? You said God does not judge. Are you sure about that? Revelation 20, 11 and 12, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and from heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And I'm like, so if you're, now she didn't address that, but like if you're saying God doesn't judge, how do you get by that? Like, where do people get the notion that God doesn't judge? God absolutely judges. In fact, that's like, now that he's rested from creation, now that the new covenant, his scheme of redemption is fully realized, and all things are reconciled in one in heaven and earth, the only thing he has to do left is judge. He's going to send his son back. His son are going to bring his people home, and he's going to judge. Or Jesus is going to judge. I'd be willing to have that conversation with somebody. Are we going to be judged by Jesus? Or are we going to be judged by God, the Father? I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm not going to split hairs over the difference. But let me give you my response to her. Just because you were born that way doesn't mean you can live that way. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Sex outside of marriage is fornication. There are people who are born hardwired to murder. Do you think God made them that way? I made this point whenever we did the episode where we talked about the conjoined twins with the two heads. God didn't do that. That was a result of us living in a fallen world. If you know anybody that is living with a congenital birth defect, guess what? You are living, or you are seeing, a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. We are living in a fallen world, and that affects everything. If you see someone who is born with mental retardation, that is a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. It's because we live in a fallen world. Floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes. Did I say earthquakes? Anyway, all of those are the consequences of living in a fallen world. God didn't do that expressly. That's not in his design. That's because humans screwed everything up. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, fornicators, excuse me, I was doing the King James, John shared the New King James, fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Yeah. God does not judge. I'm like, you sure about that? Are you sure? You sure God doesn't judge? God does not judge, but here God will judge. And incidentally, Hebrews chapter 9, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Who you think going to do that? Jiminy Christmas. All right. Let's get back to it. Whoops. So, practicing homosexuality is sinful, just like practicing heterosexuality is sinful. The difference is God legislated that sexual activity be between a man and a woman in marriage. So I can practice homosexuality within the confines of marriage. Excuse me. Boy, don't take that out of context. I can practice heterosexuality in the confines of marriage. I guess I could say I can practice homosexuality in the confines of marriage if you can show me in Scripture where God will join a man and a man, or God will join a man and a woman. If you show me the Scripture where God joins men and men and God joins women and women in holy matrimony, then I'll back off of it. The thing is, you can't, because it's not there. Marriage is between one man and one woman for life. It doesn't matter how many people try to change it or argue with it or think that's bigoted, sexist, racist, homophobic, and all that good stuff. Anyway, I tell you, I do not like the way Restream has changed. They took the timer off of the screen. Now I got to check my watch to make sure how far we've gone. No, right there it is. We've been in 27 minutes. I've got an hour today. You got that right, John Exum. That's so hilarious. Your detractors will now clip that out of context and say you promote homosexuality. It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me. I said something about being homesick the other day, and I'm curious about how that's going to run around if some of my detractors are going to be like, yeah, Tony's not going to be in Canada much longer. He says he's homesick. He's going to leave them. He's going to do this. I'm homesick. I want to go back and re-energize and touch U.S. soil. I didn't say I wanted to go back there and leave the work here. Good grief. Anyway, all right. What I want to cover next, I want to talk about for the next little bit. So I think we're going to get this off the screen. No more share screen on that. I want to, first off, I want to get my overlay back up, because without my overlay, you don't know where to go to find me. Substack, me and Aaron Dotson, Substack. If you want to do a, hold on. Captions. Sorry, I lost myself. If you want to send us support, www.nearchurches@gmail.com. We'd love to have you. You can send us any amount of support. Every dollar, every dime, every penny of support goes right back into promoting the show. Aaron Dotson and I have a goal that once we reach enough of an audience and once we reach a dollar amount of support per month, we're not going to take any money for ourselves until we hit that mark. Everything is going back into the show, into the promotion of the show and such. Incidentally, I suppose I could say, let me do a share screen. Oh, I'm going to do share screen, and I want to share the Christianity Now store with you. Let me go back to Restream. Oh, they sure do. Matthew 7. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that before we get off here, John Exum. We surely are. All right, maximize. I'm going to have to get this. All right. Now, here we go. I like the store. We have mugs. I should have brought my mug in. This mug is called Faith Over Fear. Oh, and right here it is. It's pretty neat. It's nothing to write home about. I like it. I've got it in. It's a good, it's a little 8-ounce mug. Perfect for, you know, a single morning cup of coffee or tea or something like that. And the cool thing about it is it's only $12 Canadian. That's probably like $8 or $9 US. But the thing about it is the shipping on this one is actually reasonable. Let me change to US dollars. Come on, United States. All right. Yeah, $8.58 US. This mug right here is the one I would love for everybody to order. We don't make any money off of it because I've got it down so low. I'm trying to mitigate that really expensive shipping. Not this one. I clicked on the wrong one. This one. It's $15.01. You're going to actually pay about $15.50. You're going to be paying $30 for this mug. But this is a big mug. This is like a 20-ounce mug. It's a jumbo mug. And I don't know. I just, if you order it, we get like $2. And everything else goes to shipping and to purchase the mug. But anyway, that's all I want to do. I just wanted to show you about that. Let's talk about judging in the last half of the show. As John put up, so many people, they run to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, and then they ignore Matthew 7, 2 through 5, which legislates and regulates judging. So evidently, we're talking about two different things. Again, I'll go back to my what I consider to be my stroke of genius. We discern. God decides. Take, for instance, Hugh Hefner, the Playboy mogul, the hedonistic icon of the, I think, 50s through 80s almost, maybe 90s, or could be the 60s through the 90s. I'm okay with not being well-versed in the history of Playboy, okay? Anyway, what was the point I was making? Oh, yeah, Hugh Hefner. He died, folks. He's going to spend an eternity in hell. That doesn't make me a bad person to say. God has already decided. I look at what I know from Hugh Hefner's life and what Hugh Hefner says himself and how Hugh Hefner lived, and I compare it with the Bible. Hugh Hefner spent an eternity in hell. There's nothing wrong with saying that. In fact, there's a lot of utility in that realization. Because we have to be able to discern heaven and hell. We have to be able to discern right and wrong. We have to be able to discern between good and evil. Go read Hebrews chapter 5, the end of it. Matthew 7, 1 says to judge. Says not to judge at all. Then John 7:24, and here contradicts, and we have an error in the Bible, but that's not the case. No, Matthew 7:24 is judge with a righteous judgment. So obviously, if I have a command that I can bring forward to the 21st century that does apply to us, judge with a righteous judgment, and then I've got a command that can be brought forth to the 21st century that applies to us, judge not that you be not judged, I've either got a bona fide Bible contradiction, or maybe I need to define my terms better. So we're going to make that case today. So I will admit, when I was thinking about how to reply to this woman, for a moment I had a deer in the headlights moment. I was frozen because I was like, well, wait a second. How do you prove that God judges? And then I was like, well, that's stupid. Of course he judges. It's in there. And of course I found the same verses that you would find. But for a moment, it's like somebody like, hey, did y'all know the sky is blue? And somebody says, well, no, it's not. Prove it's blue. Well, how can you prove it's blue without just saying, look up? That's a little more difficult than you might imagine. That being said, it can be done, and a lot of meteorologists can do it. I can't. I'd have to Google, why is the sky blue? And incidentally, Googling that question presupposes the sky being blue. So maybe that's how you prove it logically. It's like, well, how would you, you know, if I Googled, why is the sky blue, do you think that I would get an answer? Well, yes, it'll tell you an answer. Then you presuppose that the sky is blue. All right, I'm done with that. Here's what I come up with. Matthew 25, 31 through 32. Y'all know what that is. That's the parable of the ruler coming back and judges the world. And he separates the sheep and the goats. So that's an interesting. So unless the sky is white or gray with clouds or black at night, what you just did, and I know, Jonathan, you're not being nefarious, but there is a way of debate that is logically fallacious. And I cannot remember what this is called, but everybody in the world, you ask them, hey, is the sky blue? They're going to say, yeah. The exceptions are built into that. Like, the sky is blue. That's its baseline color. It's like human beings, they have 10 fingers and 10 toes. Well, yeah, but do you know how many people have what's called polydactyles? In fact, that's not true. I was going to say, well, let's talk about legs. Did you know that the average number of legs that human beings have is above 2? Now think about that. I think I'm right, because if you have some people that only have one leg, many, many, many people have two legs, but some people are born with congenital defects where they have extra legs. Would that put the average above 2? I can't remember. It's silly, but the point is, it's a different number than 2. On average, human beings have either more or less than 2 legs. The exception does not determine the rule. Oh, you got that right. Above the clouds, the sky is still blue, and the sky is always blue when the light is in it. Yes, that's absolutely correct. So again, I wish I could remember what that fallacy is. It's got a formal name. The reason I know that is because I've heard it 3 or 4 times whenever I listen to these red pill guys and gals talk to these trans people. They're like, so you're saying that human beings are either male or female. Well, what about hermaphrodites? Look, that doesn't change the truth. Because you can ask somebody, well, a human being has how many fingers and toes? 10 and 10. Yeah, but some have more, some have less. It doesn't matter anyway, good point. We're going to move on. John 7:24. We have to judge with a righteous judgment. And then listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Let's go read this. I want to talk about this for just a moment. I've heard this taken out of context whenever we're talking about the eternal destination of some poor soul. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of the dark, the counsels of the heart, and shall every man have praise of God. Folks, this is not talking about judging whether or not someone is in or out of Christ. This is talking about, if you listen to me for any amount of time, you know that I eschew commentaries. That doesn't mean that I don't like commentaries, okay? In fact, I like the pulpit commentary. Listen to this. Listen to the pulpit commentary on 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Oh, Ronnie Gonzalez. Hey, man, listen, this is not the place to we can pray for you, but I don't send any money overseas. God can help you with your tuition, but you got to get out and work. I'll read this here. Watching your live here in the Philippines, please pray me and my family. I hope God can hear my prayers and to finish my college level and help my parents in financial problems. I want to achieve my dreams and give my parents a better life soon. I hope God can help me in my tuition fees in school. Jesus Christ, help me not giving up in this situation. Give me blessings to continue my studies. I don't want seeing my parents crying because of my school fees. Lord, I'm working hard every day just to earn something. Please pray for my wishes, Jesus. I will pray that God blesses you with the health and vitality to work harder. Work harder. And maybe don't worry about college. Maybe just go out and get an extra job. College costs you money. You can go out and earn a trade, earn a living at a trade, learn a trade, and they'll pay you while you're learning the trade. You can learn construction or welding or something like that. So anyway, let's see. Well, no, okay. Google says there's only 1.7% hermaphrodite people in the world. 1.7% does not determine the rule for the 99.3% of remaining people. And, John, as I have come to understand, Google is probably way off on that 1.7. That 1.7 is probably a skewed number. And that's it. I think it's way less than 1.7 is what I understand. All right, guys. Listen to what the pulpit commentary says about 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Judge nothing. What do we mean? Well, Paul in the epistle to the Romans insists with some indignation on this duty of checking the tendency to vain deprecation. And deprecation is, well, let me give you, self-deprecation is whenever you speak poorly of yourself. Let me get a reduction in the value of an asset with the passage of time due to the particular, that's depreciation. I can't see. Yeah. So humans have a tendency toward vain depreciation, both because we have not the capacity for forming adequate judgments and because censoriousness is very common, though thoroughly an unchristian vice. Censoriousness. Let me give you a definition for that. And I had to look this up. Like, well, I've heard of censoriousness. I've heard it used. I've even mirrored it back within the context of how I used it. So I understand it's not a good thing. Well, censorious simply means severely critical of others. So Paul is saying, judge nothing before the time. So don't be severely critical of others, because you don't have enough information to be severely critical of others. That's the idea I get. Listen to this. When you go back to verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So Paul is saying, you need to consider us as faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. In other words, I don't care if you judge me. I don't care if you're censorious. I don't care if you consider me depreciated asset. I don't even judge myself in that way. I don't care if you do. I don't know anything of myself. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to let the Lord place value on me. That's what Paul is saying. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. He said, I'm not justified because I don't judge myself. I wouldn't be justified because I judge myself. I'm justified because I'm doing what God wants me to do. That's the idea. So because of what I just said, you don't need to judge anything until the appropriate time, until the Lord comes. When the Lord comes, you're going to know whether or not I was faithful. You're going to know whether or not I was a minister. Now, if it were the case that Paul was running around with a harem of women and drugging it, gambling it, boozing it, well, God has already judged him. Human beings haven't. Human beings just discerned that he would be outside of Christ. So this is not a verse, chapter 4, verse 5 of 1 Corinthians, is not a verse that somebody needs to pull to say, well, Tony, you're everything that's wrong with the Lord's church today because you said that Hugh Hefner was going to spend an eternity in hell. Well, where do you think Hugh Hefner's going to be? What's your book, chapter, and verse? All right. So God judges, we discern. God decides, we discern. And again, Matthew 25, God is pictured as a judge. Check this out. I really like this passage of scripture in Romans 2. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. You know what that verse means? If you practice homosexual behavior, God's going to judge you in the last day, and it's not going to go well. You know what else it means? If you practice heterosexual behavior outside of the confines of a godly marriage. You're going to be judged of God, and it's not going to go well for you the same day. Now, I will say this. You may be high-minded and be so disgusted at the sin of homosexuality, but yet you'll give heterosexual fornicators a pass and not be so disgusted with them. Here's the deal. Both that are unrepentant are going to burn in the same hell for eternity, and that's God deciding that. The way I can speak it is I have discerned it from Scripture, from what Jesus has, or from what God has written down. And so we do need to talk about the role of human discernment. That's John 7:24. Do not judge based on appearance, but judge with a righteous judgment. This goes all the way back to the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus is basically telling these people, don't judge by what things look. If you only judge me according to appearance, I'll just look like some nondescript dude who's the father or who's the son of a carpenter who says some profound stuff from time to time, but I'm blaspheming God because I'm claiming to be God. And incidentally, folks, this is an aside. Don't let anybody tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. They didn't kill Jesus. They didn't crucify Jesus because he claimed to be a prophet. They didn't try to kill Jesus. They didn't desire to kill Jesus because he was an impactful rabbi. They killed him because he claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, King of the Jews. All right. The Bereans, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. You and I, take the people who participate in homosexual behavior. We have to discern whether or not that behavior is sinful. How do we do that? We don't go by whether or not it grosses us out. We don't know. We don't go by whether or not we'd like to do it. We go by this book right here. And homosexuality is clearly condemned by God. How is it condemned by God? You don't have to find the word homosexual anywhere in the Bible. Fornication. John Exum's already put it in the comment section, Hebrews 11. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators, whoremongers, and adulterers God will judge. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and such were some of you. In other words, you had to change. What's the deal, Pickle? How come we resist this so much? Now, let's talk about the human limitations. I still messed it up. The limitations of human judgment. Well, we've already looked at Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not. Humans can, once humans start being the deciders and not the discerners, we do hypocritical judgments. Guess what? If I was in charge of the world, if I was the judge, there'd be stuff that God allows that I don't like that you wouldn't be allowed to do because I'd be the judge. How you like that? Come Easter time, some of these congregations having Easter egg, Easter bunnies and Easter egg hunts and stuff like that. Boy, I'd shut that down in a heartbeat. Aren't you glad I'm not the judge? You see what I'm getting at? Because, you know, there's some stuff that I do in my life, I'm sure, that you would shut down if you were the judge. It would make us both hypocritical. You see, before I go to worrying about a congregation that's 30 miles, 300 miles, or even 3,000 miles away, I need to cleanse the beam out of my own eye before I start messing with the speck of sawdust in theirs. And then, of course, I got ahead of myself earlier, and I've already explained 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Folks, with humans, there's a caution that one of the limitations of human judgment, even when we discern, we're not perfect in our discernment. That's why our decisions don't matter much outside of how it affects us. That's like that, well, there's a television show on Amazon Prime that's kind of taken, I don't know if it's taking the U.S., it's certainly taking Canada by storm. It's called Fallout. Have you watched it? Don't tell me. That's a matter of judgment. If I watch it, if I tell you that I watch it, you may say, Tony, how could you watch that? Well, I don't know. Maybe my conscience is fine. But you couldn't watch it. Now, I will tell you this, because I think it's kind of safe to say. Do y'all remember that show, Frasier Crane? Frasier, the spinoff of the show Cheers? I love that sitcom, Frasier. I'm watching that currently in my spare time. I like it. I've watched it several times, in fact. You might be like, Tony, how in the world can you watch that as a Christian, as a gospel preacher, where there's a television show that I will not allow myself to watch? And you might think, well, Tony, how in the world, there's nothing wrong with that television show. Why do you think it's wrong? You see, in that way, that's where matters of judgment, of scruple, come in. And there are limitations. And I dare say that the major limitation on human judgment is I only get to affect the person that's under my hat. I know I'm not wearing a hat, but you get what I'm saying. I also get to affect the people that live in my house. I'm the spiritual leader of my house. I get to decide the scruples for my family. And I do not get to decide the scruples for the individuals of my family, but I do get to decide the scruples of my family. So that's the limitations of human judgment. We can decide some things where God has not legislated for ourselves individually. You don't get to decide those for me. I'm not going to decide them for you. We must be lovers of the truth. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm pressing up against my deadline here. I'm going to the dentist today, by the way. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do a consult to get my mouth fixed. We've got some dental insurance now, and I think they're going to be able to work with me, and we're going to be able to fix my mouth once and for all. Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's it, Wayne Vaughn. And that doesn't mean figure out in your own mind how to be saved, and that's different from Wayne or John. That's work until you die. And you got to work your own work. I cannot work out Wayne's salvation, and John cannot work out my salvation. You got me? It's almost like the 1 Thessalonians 4. Study to be quiet and to do your own business with your own hands. Mind your business. Do the work. But anyway, Ephesians 4, and I'm pushing up against a deadline. I got to get Ephesians 4. Where am I going? Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Folks, that verse is not the verse that you go to that says, well, we need to preach the truth in love, so you need to be nice when you preach. You preach the truth in love, speaking the truth in love of the truth. We need to love the truth. The practical application here is we don't need to be like 1 Timothy 1:7, who people who desire to be teachers of the law and they don't know what they say nor whereof they affirm. We need to be so in love with the truth that we can, in spite of our own personal limitations on discernment and judgment and conscience, we can help somebody from a biblical standpoint enjoy more freedom in Christ than we ourselves have. For instance, somebody might come to me and say, Tony, is X, Y, and Z sinful? And my response, even though there's no way in good conscience I could participate in that, I, as a gospel preacher, as a brother in Christ, and for you elders out there that are listening to this, if you are ever faced with that and somebody says, is X, Y, Z sinful? You have to be mature enough in the Word of God that you can open up the Word of God and say, it's not legislated. This is where you have a freedom. If it doesn't violate your conscience, you're able to do it. Now, if they say, well, what about you? I can't do it. It would be a sin for me. Folks, we need to love the truth so much that we can read and discern the truth, and we can help others with the truth, and we can allow them to have more freedom than we ourselves hold, than we ourselves enjoy. So, what have we discussed in this last segment of the show? Well, we need to understand God's judgment. It's final, and it's not negotiable. Human discernment, human judging, is really human discernment, and we're commanded to judge not according to appearance, but judge with a righteous judgment, and we're to judge according to God's word. We're to be like the noble Bereans, and we need to understand the limitations of that judgment is it can be hypocritical, and it can be premature, so we have to temper our judgment with God's word. And the practical application that I want you to take away from that is we're going to take care of us first as far as the judgment, make sure we're right with God and we're right with our consciences, and then we're going to help other people be right with God and right with their consciences, and we need to be mature enough to help someone with the truth of God's word, even if it allows them to enjoy more freedom than we enjoy. Folks, I want you to comment, like, subscribe, share, all of that stuff. Send me an email if you have a show idea, a topic, or whatever. Let me put that in the... Yeah, for show topics and questions, www.christianityisnow@gmail.com. Don't forget to shop at the store. Let me give you the address for that store. Tony? Right here. In fact, this is the address to the mug. If you want a really, really expensive mug, you can purchase this one. It's not an expensive mug. It's an expensively shipped mug. But the point is, we need your support. We need to grow. Substack, $5 a month. Patreon, PayPal, nearchurches@gmail.com. Go to the show notes. We'd love for you to support us. But if you don't want to support us monetarily, do a free subscription on Substack and just go in every day, read the article, and share the article to your social media platform. That helps more than anything. Be sure and subscribe to the YouTube. When you see us drop videos, be sure and share them. And folks, that's all I've got. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. I'm now officially late. We'll catch you on the flip side.